Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
You decide that you're going to go on a Greyhound bus. Did you know you were going to go to San Francisco or you didn't know where you were going?
Yeah, I guess I did. So okay. What happened was a couple of the guys that were Boston Comics and that were very well regarded
right.
in the hierarchical social strata that there was,
right.
they went to San Francisco. And now this is pre-cell phone. I assume they knew there was the San Francisco comedy competition. I didn't
right.
know that at the time. But that may have been their destination the whole time. That may have been the whole plan. The way I understood it was they got out there and it turned out there was this competition and
right.
they joined. They went to different places on the way out. I can't remember if they drove or if they flew. I don't recall any longer. But they would call the payphone at the Charles Playhouse. And we would all gather around the payphone.
Wow.
And there was a woman named Pat Ritz, who was one of the producers with the Comedy Connection and not a performer, but just, you know, but she was everybody's connection. You know, she was the Consuelo.
Right.
So she would get on. And then she would say, like, you know, they're in Chicago. She would, you know, put her hand over the phone and then tell her they're in Chicago. And we would all be like, oh, my God, they're in Chicago. There's a club there called Zany. Oh, my God. There's a club. At some point, I realized that I would never be, because I bombed a lot in Boston because I was just starting out. And guess what? When you're just starting out, you suck.
Right.
But the guys could bomb and nobody held it against them forever.
Right.
Right?
But you were representing an entire gender.
Well, that was part of it, sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I would bomb and I couldn't get work. the others would bomb, and it was fun. Like, oh my God, you see Teddy? Oh my God, he ate it. And then he's, you know, we got him tonight.
Yeah.
You know, like there was no,
right.
The other no repercussions. I was damned by everything I did. So I just had a feeling that I would never get anywhere just remaining there. And so I contacted the guys who had taken this trip, and after, you know, when they got back, and I got some, you know, names of places, and I contact these places to see if I can come out and do like an open mic kind of thing. And so I get on a Greyhound bus. Back then you could buy a ticket book for $150. It was called an Ameripass. And it was a blank ticket book, and you could have it filled in for anywhere you wanted to go. But that ticket book was only in effect for 30 days.
Wow. Okay.
So routing was very important. And so here's how I lived. Because I had no money, or, right, you know, very, very little money.
And so a dream. You had a dream.
I had a dream. I was a little comic with a dream.
Right.
If I wanted to go, say, to Denver, right, I didn't have any place to stay. So here's what I would do. I would arrive, like, say, in the daytime sometime at the Denver Greyhound station. The bus would roll in. I'd get off the bus. I would put my suitcase in a locker. I would go and look at the schedule of departures and arrivals. And I would find a destination that was 4 hours away from Denver. And I would book I'd get them to write me a ticket for the last departure to that 4 hour away destination, which might have been, say, midnight.
Right.
And I would make sure that I was back at the station at midnight. I would take that bus 4 hours away, and then I would have a ticket written out to come back to Denver. And in that way, I got my 8 hours sleep.
Oh my God, that is fucking crazy. Wow.
I can't remember how many times I did it. I can't remember if I did, you know, more than, I don't recall anymore. I know I've done it more than once, but it was so long ago, and I didn't, you know.
That is amazing. Thank God you didn't have a Fitbit that was saying you're not getting enough sleep, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
But did you feel well rested, or?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, you were. Yeah. Well, you were young. Yeah.
I love a Greyhound bus to this right. day. I can sleep anywhere. There's my problem is not, you know, trying not to sleep.
Right.
You know, I can doze off anywhere. My friend Jim Morris, who was
impressionist. He did Clinton. He did really great Clinton. And Bush, he was great. Yeah.
He was very good. He had gone out to San Francisco and stayed. And so I had his, you know, so we had talked, and he kindly invited me to stay at his apartment. And so when I arrived at the San Francisco Greyhound station, you know, I get on the payphone and I call Jim Morris, and he doesn't answer. And this is pre-answering machine.
Right.
So, you know, I don't have anywhere to go.
Right.
Well, it was, I believe it was election day when Reagan was elected. I believe it was that day was election day. I went to hear John Anderson speak. Because he was speaking in, I don't know, Union Square, whatever the hell, near where I met a guy just that was there too. And we got talking, and I told him, like, you know, that I just came from, you know, Massachusetts. I didn't have anywhere to stay. And I end up spending the day with that guy. And a couple different times I tried to call Jim Morris and I couldn't reach him. And this guy kindly allowed me to stay in his apartment. You know, I'll tell you, San Francisco was like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when someone was newly arrived, when someone, you know, when someone's found out that this is a newcomer.
Right.
The people who lived there, and they weren't generally natives, but the people who had a similar trajectory where, you know, oh yeah, I came a couple of years ago.
Right.
They delighted in showing you around. They delighted in welcoming you. It's not, to the best of my knowledge, like that anymore.
Right. It was a world of misfits. It was a place for others, you know? Well,
you know, tales of the city.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, when somebody found a newbie, they were like, hey. Yeah.
Come on. That is so crazy. And then you start working at the other cafe.
My favorite comedy venue ever, the other cafe.
You realize at this point, you know, coming from misogynist Boston, these people get me.
Yeah, I couldn't have designed a better audience.
Right.
At the other cafe. And that location, that particular venue only was there for 6 years. Now it's a restaurant of a different sort.
Right.
And then the comics were weird and fun. Right. We had a good time. In fact, yeah. You know, a few years back now, they had a 30-year reunion of the other cafe. And it was so much fun. I mean, many of us hadn't seen one another in many years at that point. And sometimes I didn't even know that guy was this person that I used to hang out. I'd say to somebody, oh, that's blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
Oh my God. Time was not kind to all of us.
Right.
But we spent a lot of the night just staring at one another. But it was really fun. I was up.
I don't think these comics don't understand that we were there all night. We hung out all night. I would MC so that I could develop material, I would get more stage time. Job. Right.
You know, I used to MC the open mic night frequently at the other cafe.
Right.
And that's really how I learned to do what I do.
And you got on stage more than anyone else. And each time you were on stage, it had to be its own strong thing, which was made. Yeah. And now that job is delegated to the least, you know, it's like no one wants it, but I think it's the greatest job.
Did you ever have this experience, which is when, you know, when you're working, you know, when I was doing clubs and there was the MC and the middle act and the headliner.
Right.
I feel like I so often would have either the MC or the headliner, or maybe both, would come to me and say, could I recommend them? Would I tell the owner or the booker to move them to, you know, the MC wanted to middle in the middle headline. And I used to look at them and say, you know, here's what you should do. I go, especially the MC, I go, you should make yourself into the best fucking MC there. And I said, you can ask for more money, but you will get no end of work.
Right.
If you become the best
MC. Right.
And don't worry about, you know, moving.
Right.
I don't think one of them ever took my advice.
And the middle act had the cushiest job ever. It's like, here, do 20, 25 minutes, 20 to 30. And you're padded. You're padded. It doesn't matter. You know, it's like, it was the easiest. Yeah. So when people don't know this, when in the 80s, the clubs would buy condominiums. And so they wouldn't have to pay for hotel rooms. And you being, I mean, there was always, if there was a woman on the show, it was one. And you'd walk into these condos. Sometimes I would go in and the people were like, would move in, and you're like, which is my bedroom? It was all, I hated it.
I hated it. First of all, you felt like you were staying in the sperm covered furniture
right
every fucking act that had to, okay,
right.
the scene was a little on the lascivious side back then, such that they eventually, not always, but eventually, the owners of the club would put up signs in the dressing room that asked the comics not to fuck the waitresses.
Right.
Because that was like a thing. And I swear to you, I forget where I was now, but I swear to you, I was at a club one time years ago, and I overheard these waitresses going over the calendar to see who was coming in.
Right.
Because they were planning their sex lives.
Right. But, and I remember hearing all the comics going, oh, I'm going to the, you know, Chuckle Hut in Iowa. And the comics would be like, oh, you can fuck Karen, Tiffany, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's how they did it. They all knew who they were going to go fuck. It was crazy. Yeah. And sitting in a fucking disgusting room.
Yeah.
Reading.
Yeah.
Like, it was awful.
And they would have, like, a waitress would go over, you know, once a week and vacuum.
Right. Right.
I stayed in some sleazy, slimy-ass place. And so at a certain point, I started saying, you know what? I have to have a hotel. I just have to have a hotel.
Right.
And, you know, I had this relationship with these different clubs back then where I was friends with the guys who ran the club.
Right.
And which is nice. You know, I looked forward to seeing them. We'd go out for lunch or, you know, hang out, play basketball. I played a lot of basketball. Right. It was great. But when I would make a request for something, suddenly the friendship, you know, whereas if I had just been an asshole and not friends with them, I probably... Right. But so I remember this one. I was working a place in, I think it was Virginia Beach, although I can't swear to it. Yeah, I think it was Virginia Beach. And so I'm told that I'm going to have a hotel. And they, you know, these guys pick me up at the airport. Great. Good to see you. Oh, it's, you know, great. So we're going to do this. We're going to do that together. Because this was back when you were in the same place for 5 nights.
Yeah. Ugh.
As we're driving from the airport, and I realized that we're getting more and more residential.
Right.
And like, there's no fucking way there's a hotel over this way. You know? Pull up to this condo and I'm so angry. But of course I don't say anything because the guys are like helping me with my luggage and, oh, your room is up these stairs, you know? So then I thought I'll just live with it. And then I say to them, where is the phone? And this is, again, pre-cell phone. Where's the phone? And they say, we don't have a phone.
Oh, my God.
They said, the comics kept leaving us with bills, and so we don't have a phone. At which point, I swear to you, I'm not making this up. At which point, I'm walking up these stairs, and I turn, and I smash my head into the wall. And they're like, oh, oh. And they go, we do have a phone. They said, we do have a phone. We just don't like people to use it. We have a phone. And so it turns out that they have do you remember, I think it was Time Magazine or something at one point, was when they were hawking their magazines on television, they had some sort of a deal where you could get a football phone.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
So they have like some fucking, got, you know, like shitty, you know, football phone thing that you can take. And they go, you have to, okay, we're going to let you use it, but nobody else can use it. Now there's an MC and a middle act that are staying in the same place. They go, you can use, but nobody else. So I have to plug it in and then put, and then unplug it and put it in a drawer. And I'm like,
it's crazy.
So I'm like, okay, so there's a guy that's been told there's no phone. It's the middle act. He's in a different room. He doesn't hear me talking.
Right.
So eventually I go to the other act and I go, look, there's a phone. And I go, don't stick these guys with a bill. That would be bad.
Yeah, because we had to pay. You had to pay for long distance.
Right.
That's the other thing people don't realize. When you were on the road and even in a hotel, you couldn't call because that would eat up your entire check.
Oh, honest to God. And the hotels were particularly obscene.
The comforters. I can't.
The way they did.
For the phone.
Was that you had to go through the hotel line.
Press nine. Yes.
And you're paying your long distance fee with the phone company and you're paying a fee.
To the fucking hotel.
Nothing to hook that phone. Nothing. And you know, if you had a phone credit card number.
Yes.
So I was working in a place outside of Detroit. I think I was staying at the Morgan Hotel, maybe it was called. And I get in. I think I had kids at that point, I think. And so, you know, I had to use the phone. I go to call and I can't make the credit card thing work. There's something about the hotel's phone that is stopping me from using the credit card thing. And so I call the front desk. I tell them there's a problem with the phone, but I have to use the phone. So I go ahead and just go direct through the hotel to make this long distance call. And the hotel ends up never sending anybody to fix the phone. And so I go to check out, you know, the next day or something like that. I go to check out and I get this bill that is enormous.
Right.
And I can't believe it. And I'm like, wait a minute. So they never think. So I go down to the front desk and I say, look, there was a problem with the phone. And I let you know there was a problem with the phone. And I have to be able to use the phone. And so now there's this astronomical, and I'm well aware that it doesn't cost you anything for, you know, this is just highway robbery. And I never complain. I mean, I'll complain to you about something that yesterday, but I never complain in an effective way ever.
Right.
So this was very rare. So I said, and the woman goes, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I go, I'd like to speak with the manager. And the manager comes out and she says, okay, we're going to give you 50% off. Well, that's like admitting that what they're doing.
Right.
It's like if you catch somebody robbing your house.
Right.
And you're like, hey, that's my computer. And they go, all right. We'll put the television back.
right.
You know, we're going to take everything else.
This is where being Jewish comes in handy because we are excellent complainers. You know, we're very good at it. Yeah.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV and I love giving it to people and telling people about it. And it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV. And I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome.
So now, Paula, there's three things I have to hit. Number one, you get on the Tonight Show with Johnny. Jimmy Stewart was on. I can't believe the guests the people that were on.
I don't remember that.
And your set was so groundbreaking. First of all, you do a bit about Jimmy Stewart and Africa. You start, and I was wondering, was that, I mean, because your brain is incredible. That did she think of that right then? You did a bit about Jimmy Stewart because he was in that Africa movie. And then you go on with your set, which is just flawless. First of all, you talked about your cats, but then you talked about, I don't like sex. I don't like sex. And I thought, this is fucking amazing. Who has the enlarged balls to be that vulnerable and that honest to say, I mean, this is something people didn't talk about. And
Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend.
Yes. I mean, I watched that again yesterday and I just, it's amazing.
I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, you said, I don't like sex. And then you talked about wanting to have kids and that, like, oh. And then you talked about, you know, Sam I Am, I don't want sex in the house. I don't want sex. It was just fucking, I was like, she is getting a huge laugh on national television in 1987, talking about a topic no one fucking talks about in the most palatable, hilarious. Johnny, was he nice? He seems cold. Yeah, cold.
You know, I can't remember what, I did the show with Carson a couple of times.
Yeah.
And you know, what's funny about the thing about saying I don't like sex is that my managers at the time, I was with this company that had like, you know, five men that were the man, you know, it was a management company.
Wait, and it was Robin Williams, Dana Carvey, all them? Yeah.
Yeah.
They loved you. Yeah. Okay.
And well, the management company, I don't think particularly, but there I was. And they used to tell me not to say that I didn't like sex.
Right.
I mean, I think they thought it was so weird.
I loved it. I was like, here's, yeah.
Well, what I discovered about that was, I think I had for so much of my life thought that I was so unique in so many ways, you know, that something that I thought or felt, I must be the only one.
Right.
And it turns out, I don't think there's anything you can say that you think or feel. You may have a larger group or a smaller group that has thought.
Right.
But you're not alone in anything.
Right.
You know, and I think in America, you know, we all like to think that we're so
special. Yeah.
Oh, we're not. But the thing about that was that over time, it became sort of a more, I think I probably said it with more ease over time. And so it became like a more, you know, the audience responded more.
Right.
I sort of committed to it
right.
more. But I can't, all right, here's what I remember about Carson. I think it was the first time I was on that this happened, but it might not have been. It might have been another time. You know how they do this silliness with the chair and the
yes.
to do paddle or such crap. And you know, no other, the only type of performer that had to sing for their supper like that was a comic.
Right.
You know, you come out and you do your stand up, and then it was always a thing as to whether Johnny would wave over. And it's all for the most part preordained.
Right.
If I talked about Jimmy Stewart in Africa, which I don't recall at all, okay, it would definitely have been something I just decided to do.
Wow, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, what the stress of the, I mean, I think part of the reason I don't remember those things very well is the stress, yes, was so colossal.
Right.
And foolish in retrospect. But there were, you know, when I was growing up, there were three television stations.
Same, yeah.
And somebody literally that overnight success idea literally,
right,
could take place as a result of someone being on the Tonight Show at all, which a lot of people were good, but just that. So I think, you know, and then I had these, you know, managers that were creeping up my backside a lot of the time. So you expected, you were hoping for so much from that appearance.
Right.
And your expectations were so high that I think it just, you know, it crushed your brains.
Right, right.
It was really, really, really stressful.
Yeah, I remember standing behind that curtain when I did it with Jay the first time, you know, standing behind that curtain and having them count you. And then that, and you're, it's like, I don't know how to, the curtain opens and you're like, oh my God, like, it's so, yeah, fucking scary.
I think especially the first time, you know, you know, it's like the first time you go to Hollywood Boulevard, right, and you're like, well, this is a shithole.
Right.
Tonight Show, I was like, it's not even at night, for Christ's sake.
Right.
It's, you know, everything about it just seems so not the showbiz that you thought you were going to. And so, I mean, I think part of it is you're sort of taking in like the, like,
oh, this is disappointing. Oh, I thought it was, yeah.
It's not really, oh, huh, yeah. No, not really.
I know, it's crazy. You then go on to do HBO. You did a Young Comedian special, Women of the Night, which I hated the name of those shows. You know, that was the women. Those were, yeah, the ones where the women could go on. It was called Women of the, yeah, Night. You did a one night stand.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. You then became the first woman to host the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I have two questions about that. Were you more nervous about that than doing the Tonight Show, if you remember? I mean, that would be intimidating to me.
It was very intimidating. I'll tell you, it was a weird event.
Yeah.
I do a lot of, you know, award shows and,
yeah,
and or used to in the before time, you know, a lot of association events, but, you know, what the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the notion of it is that it is White House correspondents,
right,
reporters, that are having this event. And many, many, many of these kind of, you know, annual galas make the same mistake, which is you're going to be able to do two or three things at any given gala.
Right.
And you have to decide which two or three things you're doing.
Right.
Are you entertaining the people in the room? Are you networking? Is it really a celebration of the work of somebody as so it's an award? Yeah. Are you presenting yourself? Are you showing you? Are you raising awareness to the greater population? Are you
raising money? Are you raising money?
Are you raising money? Are people, you know, networking so they want to talk?
Right.
Are you passing information to, right, these are, you have to know what you're doing in order to make sure that you do.
Right.
So the White House Correspondents' Dinner, the way it used to be, I think it used to be kind of, you know, the correspondents have become famous over the years, but they weren't always.
Right.
It was very
fade, sort of.
What's the Cary Grant, Rosalind Russell, His Girl Friday.
Right.
It was a very His Girl Friday kind of a group of people in the old days. They didn't have good accommodations in right. the White House. They really were.
It was before it was entertainment news. Like, news has become entertainment.
Right.
It was
right.
actually news then.
Right. And you wouldn't necessarily recognize the correspondents.
Right.
Although at which I did it, you know, CNN, in fact, Charles Bierbauer from CNN back then was the head of the White House Correspondents Association or whatever it was. He's the guy that hired me. And originally, by the way, I was like, I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Right.
So I get there and there was a lot of, sort of events leading up to that event, all of which were fun. But I get there and it's, you know, the dais and, you know, the important people sitting in important people chairs. And that room wasn't quiet. I mean, it might have been quiet when Bush, it was back when it was the first
right.
Bush. It might have been quiet when Bush was talking, but not when their brethren were talking. When
right.
Charles made a speech, you could barely even tell he was making a speech.
Right.
The whole room was talking. Because it was a networking, it was a thing
right.
where people wanted to be with each other. Well, then you have to allow them to do that.
Right.
Right. And that's the fun part. Who are you at the table with? That's the fun.
Right.
It was really not a fun performing experience. And the other thing that they used to do mistakenly, I believe, I mean, I didn't fit into this category, but like, I remember Clinton had that radio guy. It was one of the, you know, it was maybe pre-Howard Stern or
right.
or early Howard Stern years.
As the comic, you mean?
Yes. I can't
right.
think of his name now, but he was, you know, provocative.
Right.
Incendiary. Ugly. He had like long, what the fuck was that guy's name? And then the next
I'm
day.
I'm looking it up.
The
yeah, go
next
ahead.
Day in the news, it's boy, he, you know. He said some things people did. Oh, boy, he was, you know, like, okay, what did you think you were getting?
Don Imus. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was Don Imus. So Don Imus goes on and he's very Don Imus.
Right.
They're like, oh, Jesus, it was awful. Okay, yeah, because he doesn't
want. That's what you got. But when right. you did it, they talked about what you wore.
Yes, yes.
And I read that you thought, oh, that was the first time you realized, oh, this is what they do to women. Like I had never yeah. thought of myself as, you know, a female comedian or, you know.
The Washington Post the following day, it's a, you know, Paula Poundstone in a white tuxedo. And by the way, it was a beautiful white tuxedo.
I bet it was.
But yeah, like how fucking weird. Does anybody know what Don Imus wore? Does
yeah,
any-
no.
But anyways, I don't think the event, and at the point at which I did it, it was also not televised.
Right.
I mean, there may have been a cameraman that used a clip somewhere
right.
televised. So I think as the years went on, you know, they tried to sort of,
Hollywoodize it.
Like
yeah.
Yeah. They watched like the Emmys or something.
Right, right, right.
So I don't know. It was fun. In many ways, I was glad I was there. It's a lovely credit to throw on my resume.
Right.
But, as a performing experience, you can pretty much drop kick it.
Hey, everyone. I have a new sponsor, and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple, I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
I have one more question and then two more little questions. Is that okay? Number one, crowd work. You are, no, like I was told, I used to do so much crowd work because I MC. You are, it's otherworldly, your crowd work. And the fact that you were able to do it on an HBO special, that you have been, you have these convictions and you don't stray from them. And the and like you are the queen of, well, I'm not genderizing, but your crowd work is amazing. And the fact that you love it and you love it. And I was always told, no, don't do crowd work. You can't do crowd. And I was like, that's my favorite part.
It is the best part, isn't it?
Yeah, it separates it from every other art form. There's no fourth wall. They become part of the show. It's like, and you're using your brain.
Yeah. Plus, I have the greatest audience. That's part of the reason I stopped. I stopped working clubs. I work in theaters, and I don't have anybody open for me because honestly, I'm just too selfish.
Right.
They've come to see me, and I want to spend as much time with them as I possibly can. I love talking, you know, I love all the different careers that I've, you know,
Yes. Wondered
where are you from? What do you do for a living? And it also
becomes bits for me. It's like, then I can retell. I once had this to talk to this, you know, like, and it becomes a bit a lot of the time.
Well, that would be helpful to me, but my memory has been, I think it was kid ravaged to begin with. And then COVID. The stress of what's gone on for the last, well, honestly, for the last 6 years, I can't remember a goddamn thing anymore.
Right. Well, they hijacked your brain, Trump.
Yeah.
You also wrote, your kids weren't doing well in math, and you wrote math books. I mean, you're fucking amazing.
Well, let's know and think I'm good at math. I'm not. I wrote a series of math workbooks with my high school math teacher. And I just wrote the stories. She wrote the math. In fact, she had to explain some of the concepts to me in order right. for me to write stories so that they applied. Slope okay. was challenging for me.
I hate it. It makes me crazy. Okay, my last two questions. Number one, we're very pro mental health. What do you do for your mental health? I know you exercise.
I do exercise. The answer is I don't do enough for my mental right. health. It has been, you know, it's been wonderful to get back to some road right. jobs. I started back in June. I don't know how long it's going to last. I think that the anti-vaxxers are hell bent on right. creating a new variant that it's going right. to bring us. I have pets, and I do think it's a double-edged sword because it's a shitload of work taking care right. of them. But as a result of the fact that I have two big dogs, I walk most days.
Right.
And I do think that that's really helpful. I think my sleep is
yeah,
pretty well.
Same.
Because that's very important. And yes. I consider it a badge of honor to be awake forever.
Right.
And I don't any longer. I because it's just, you know, you're not regenerating.
Right.
And yes, I'll tell you, one of the things I think that's happened in terms of my work, I always loved my work. It's the greatest job in the world. And I'm always aware of that. And there are times that even doing the greatest job in the world, I would feel, I don't know, somehow put upon.
Right.
Like I'd be working a lot and I'd feel like, oh my God, I guess, how come I don't get to pay to book?
Right.
And boy, being stripped of it for a year and a half.
Oh, I know.
I'm so grateful. Gratitude.
I like that. Last question.
Just recognizing how lucky
and knowing. And you're so great at what you do and you make people happy. All right. Now I call the podcast Kill Me Now, which is politically incorrect because I'm always aggravated. I always get annoyed and I'm always like, oh my God, kill me now. So what makes you crazy, annoyed, mad? Like what, where you're like, oh my God,
I don't like it when things happen at the same time. Like, and the thing is timing wise. So I'll go a whole day where the phone never rang.
Right.
And then I'm talking to one person and and I'm like, how the fuck, how is that? Cat pee in places it doesn't belong.
Yes. I remember that.
But in a more global sense, it's very, very, very hard for me to understand why the human race, after all that we've been through, doesn't know to love one another.
Oh.
It's frustrating.
Right.
And I don't hate the anti-vaxxers, but I'm pretty pissed at them.
Yeah, same.
You know, because I feel like, I don't understand. What? How could you?
Right. It's not about you. It's about other people. It's about other people.
Yeah. And I genuinely love people. You know, a naked guy with a gun could come up to me and whisper and I'd go, I'm sorry. I don't feel suspicious a lot.
Right.
I genuinely love people. And maybe it's because, you know, I read the wrong books and watched the wrong movies. Right. I don't know. I'm an idiot.
But you can't lose that. You can't lose that.
Don't let those bastards get
Don't let them. Don't let them win. Paula, I can't thank you enough. Like this is, I have 8 other million things I want to talk to you about. I think you are, I just adore you. I respect you on so many levels as a human being, as a mother. Is it Tosha? Toshia?
Tosha.
Tosha Marie Alice in Wonderland, Johnson Poundstone. You are one of a kind. You're so talented. You're so smart. And I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I wish only good things for you.
Well, the same right back at you. I am an admirer of yours as well. I love it when we're together. It's not often enough.
And I want to play ping pong.
Oh.
And eat ring dings. And eat ring dings.
Oh,
And take off the tinfoil and make it really.
They don't use tinfoil anymore.
Oh, I hate fuck them. Like, oh, it's in the plastic. That's shit.
Yeah. It's awful, right?
Yeah. Remember tinfoil. You used to make it and you used to like iron it with your fingers?
Well, they used to have one that had a circle logo on it and you'd make like a button and you were in the ring ding. I was very high up in the ring ding club. Judy, thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one, the only Paula Poundstone. I mean, I'm speechless. I fucking love her. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. The podcast would not be possible without the help of Brittany Jo Sowards. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. 5 stars, not like my Uber review. I want 5 stars, people. 5 fucking stars. Buy my book. Yes, I can say that. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. Go to my website, judygold.com. See all the new stuff I'm doing. If you didn't see me on Awkwafina, go watch me on Awkwafina, because Awkwafina is the fucking best. The show is great. And I happen to be on an episode of this season. Okay? I will be performing at in an area near you. I am scheduled to perform in Scarsdale, New York on October 23rd. Okay. I'll be in Provincetown for Women's Week for all the lesbies. And I'm going to be going to Florida on November 6th. But whatever. Go to my website, judygold.com, and you'll see everything I'm doing and everything I'm not doing. But just stuff about me, and it's all about me. If you're not vaxxed, go fuck yourself. If you are vaxxed, please wear a mask. I double mask on the plane, you know, and in the airport. And I yell at people. I yell at people all the time. So if I'm not around in a few months because someone just couldn't take me anymore, I love you. So follow me on Twitter and Instagram for everything you need to know about me. That's at Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD, you know, like Jew, because I'm a Jew. Gold. What else do I have to say? Enjoy the new season, new beginnings, new. And if you're still listening, I can't tell you how much I love you. The fact that you haven't turned me off right now, I love you more than anything. And, you know, I think you're awesome. And don't let anyone else say shit about you, because you know you're fucking great. Anyway, thank you for listening. Tell your friends about the show. Do something nice for someone. Take care of your mental health. Go exercise. Go be kind. And as we always say, so long!
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.